Let's pray, then we'll continue after. Let's pray. Father, we praise you for setting us free from the curses of sin and witchcraft and all the forces of the devil. But you've also set us free from the curse of the law. Praise your name, Lord. Now, encourage our hearts to enter right into the fullness of this covenant. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're in chapter 3. I'm not going to read the whole of chapter 3, though I'm tempted to. But let me try and pick out a few verses here. And verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. And here you've got the facts that we have the law, the old covenant, being described as a curse. So what then, if that's fairly easy to understand, but if you read verse 10, he says this, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So the old covenant produced a sense of being cursed. It produced a sense of being weak, a failure. If your Christianity makes you feel a constant failure, you're missing something. There's something you've not yet understood. Christianity should not leave us feeling failures. It should lift us up. And we're going to see how in a moment. But what makes us feel failures? It's rules, regulations, laws. So, for example, if you felt you had to pray 3 hours a day and felt that was good and virtuous, and that was your goal, and that was how you became a spiritual person by praying 3 hours a day and reading 10 chapters a day, it would ultimately produce in you a sense of failure. Why? Because you are always striving to keep that law. On the day you didn't keep it, maybe you overslept, or maybe you just read them but didn't feel you'd remembered what you read, or you were late for work because you read that, you know, whatever happens, the law produces by its very nature a sense of failure because it is from the outside coming in and we have that sense of being under a curse. I've noticed that groups that emphasize lots of rules, and particularly I remember one group that was always the leaders were saying, we've got to pray more, we've got to do more, we've got to give more. It was always this sense of we've got to do more. And the ultimate sense you had was failure. Everybody felt a failure. And that's what the law does. That's what the law does as it comes through Moses. And it's what the law does in every form it comes. So if that's not the way forward, if Christ is not saying, do more for me, and he isn't. Christ is not saying, do more for me. What is Christ saying? Well, let's look at here the promise of Abraham. Verse 8, in the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preach before the gospel to Abraham, saying, in you shall all Singaporeans be blessed. And Americans. Well, yes, even Americans. and, of course, the British. But in you shall all Singaporeans, Mauritians, and British, we're all going to be blessed. And what is then the blessing of Abraham? Verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Singaporeans through Jesus Christ, that Singaporeans might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So what's the promise of God? It is the Spirit. God has promised to give. This is the promise of Abraham. So God's promise of the gospel through Abraham is this. First of all, believe me and I'll look at you as perfect. That's justification by faith. I am totally right with God. I'm not partly right. I am totally right with God today. Why? Because I trust in Jesus. And because I'm totally right with God, God says, "I'm good enough." By the way, that's the pidgin English for justification. God say, "I'm good enough." That's pidgin English. God say, "I'm all right." That's what God says about me. Les is all right. He's good. He's a good guy. Why? Because I trust in Christ. And God says, Les is good enough to receive the Holy Spirit. So God has given to me total acceptance through faith, and he gives me the gift of a fountain of life. In other words, the new covenant is not the law from the outside. It's first of all the exam passed from, you know, if you came here to do a course in MBI and said, "I'd like to do an MA or a PhD," and I said, "Right, well done, we'll start by giving you your certificate." That's justification. God gives you your past certificate before you do any works because you believe in him. You know, it's a bit like if you've got $1 million, anybody here in debt to $1 million? If so, don't come and see me. But anyway, if you're in debt to $1 million, let's say you owed me $1 million. Okay, just for 10 minutes, you can owe me $1 million. And I say to you, "Look, you owe me $1 million, but I'm going to cancel your debt. I'm going to cancel it. But not only cancel it, I'm going to give you credit in your account of 10 million. Wow! You see, when Christ justifies me by faith, he says, "Your sins are all forgiven, and I see you as good as Jesus." That's how good, that's how right I am with God. I am as right with God as Jesus is right with God. I am totally right with God, not after striving and struggling to pray for years, but from the very moment I trust in Christ, I am 100% reconciled with God. I'm justified. I'm declared righteous by faith. It's given. It's a gift. Now, if I said I've got a present for you and I brought out this lovely Cartier clock and said, "There's a Cartier clock for you. It cost me 15 million Singapore dollars. Here it is, there's a Cartier." And I said, "There you are, there's the clock. But now I want you to pay by installments of $1 million a month for 25 months because that's the interest on top. And do you agree? I'll give you the gift." You say, "Wait a minute, is it a gift or am I buying it? Because if I'm buying it, I'll go to Cartier myself and negotiate a price." Is it a gift or am I? If it's a gift, there's nothing you do to earn it. Nothing. Salvation is totally unearned and it is undeserved. It is God's gift. It is grace and it's total and it's complete. It cannot be improved upon. It's yours. You're right with God. And then God says, and now that's one of the blessings of Abraham. The second blessing of Abraham is the Holy Spirit. I am giving to you the power of a new life. I'm giving it to you. It's another gift. You don't have to earn the Holy Spirit. All you've got to do is ask. And really, when we look at this, we've got the truth in Galatians. We've got law or grace, striving or rest, blessing or curse, If you're under rules and regulations, you're under a curse. If you're under gift,